Our gracious God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee tonight for Thy great love towards us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thou couldst not have given more for man's salvation than the darling of Thy bosom, Thy well-beloved Son. We read that God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all. We thank Thee He willingly went to that place called Calvary, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, to offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sin. And we thank Thee that tonight we are accepted in the Beloved One. We thank Thee for providing a Savior to meet our great need. Now tonight, for those in this company who have fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for the joy and the peace that has filled our hearts. And we rejoice that our names have been written in heaven. Hell with all its torments, our eyes shall never see. But O God, tonight, we feel for those who are still without Christ, those who are in nature's darkness, in great danger of being lost eternally. We pray for such tonight, that the Holy Spirit will move in their hearts and consciences, that they might be saved. This is the purpose of our arranging this meeting, that fellow travelers to eternity, men and women and boys and girls, may come into the joy and the blessing of Thy great salvation through Thy beloved Son. So we ask that tonight it might please Thee to look down upon us in all our great need, and grant the help of God and the presence of God to be felt in this place here tonight, right from beginning to end, as we cast ourselves completely upon Thee and pray for a late blessing wherever Christ is preached this night. These things we ask in that ever worthy and precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May further sing two verses of 125. There is a Savior waiting, earnest is His call. Why be hesitating? Welcome, our one and all. Long the world you've been trying its pleasure and sin, blind to the fact that you're dying. To His rich banquet, come in. We'll sing the first two verses of 125.
There is a Savior waiting, earnest is His call. Why be hesitating? You're dying, to His rich banquet come in. Come to Him now, come to Him now. Welcome to Jesus. The heart does the fire.
Now we welcome everyone to the meeting tonight. We appreciate your presence. We trust that as a result of our coming together, it will be a real blessing to your soul. And if you're not saved, you couldn't get a greater blessing than the blessing of salvation. Lord willing, a meeting tomorrow night and Friday night at 8 o'clock, prayer meeting at 7:30, and a prayer meeting after this meeting. Now we announce these meetings in the will of the Lord. We invite you back if you're free to come. If you have an interest in your soul, put salvation first. I would like to read tonight in the Gospel by John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now the Gospel by Mark chapter 2. And verse 1. And again he entered into a Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now over to the first epistle of Peter, in chapter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. And one final verse in the first epistle of John. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will bless his word to each one of us gathered here tonight and help us to preach the gospel faithfully from these scriptures. A number of years ago, an article appeared in one of the newspapers. It told of a young Brahmin in the country of India. He was studying Hindu at the university, and he came to a missionary. He wanted to compare Hinduism with Christianity. After they had talked for about 3 hours, the young Hindu man said to the missionary, well, he said, there's one thing I can see in Christianity that is not in Hinduism. The missionary very quickly said, what's that? Well, he said, Christianity has a savior. Hinduism has not. Thank God tonight for the savior. I would like to speak of that savior and are coming together here in Victoria Drive Gospel Hall. In the Gospel by John chapter 8, we have read of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, speaking. We have the Savior warning souls that if they die in their sin, where he is, they cannot come. We trust, friend, you'll take that warning kindly tonight. This is not what we have conjured up in ourselves. This is inside the pages of God's book. A warning Savior. We read in Mark's Gospel chapter 2. A forgiving Savior. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And we have read of a man who had his sins forgiven. How did he know his sins were forgiven? The same way those here tonight that are saved know. For there's only one way in knowing. And that's by the word of God. The Lord Jesus said it. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Did the man take it in? Certainly he did. Whenever a person gets God's salvation, they drink in the truth. Hook, line, and sinker. A forgiving Savior. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's a sin-bearing Savior who his own self bare our sin in his own body in the tree. Not an angel, not a created being, but the Son of God upon the cross at Calvary. He bare our sins. He bare my sins. What about yours tonight? In 1 John chapter 1, we have read of a cleansing Savior. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ah, the cleansing Savior tonight, the blood that was shed at Calvary, cleanseth from all sin. That was a long time since I went to school. But this word cleanseth, as you know that are being educated, it's something that's continuous. This happened once, but then cleanseth continuously, washed from our sin in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for this cleansing to be of any value to you, you need to make it personal. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses me from all sin. That simply means, in order that I, a poor sinner, might be cleansed, God must send His Son to be my substitute, to take my place. For no one else could ever have taken my place or your place for the cleansing of your sin but God's beloved Son. That's the message of the gospel tonight, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us, me, from all sin. Now, those of us who have lived long enough, we know that warnings are very faithful. We see warning signs oftentimes on the highway. They're warning us of danger, telling of dangerous curves, or something that needs to be attended to when we drive along. Now, they're not there just because somebody thought they would put a sign. They're there for a purpose. And God puts warning signs on the pathway of unsaved people for a purpose, that they might be warned of their danger and of the way of salvation. A mother warns her child whenever she sees it in danger. Is it because she doesn't love the child? It's the very opposite. It's because she loves that child. She doesn't want to see it hurt, and she warns it whenever it's going near the danger. Friend, God loves you. And perhaps God has warned you many times. And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning you tonight. He says, if you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. The Lord Jesus Christ is exalted in heaven tonight. Where He is, you'll never be. If you die in your sins, if you don't believe in me, He said, you shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. Now that's very solemn. That's very searching. Well, what does it mean for a person to die in their sin? Well, you and I were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. Our parents never taught us to sin. Or at least mine didn't. They didn't teach me to sin. But I sinned. Why? Right inbred in my nature. Sin. God hates it. Men roll it as a sweet morsel under their tongue. That's what the Bible says. Men love sin. They love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Die in your sins, to be born in this world, to live a life refusing God's great salvation, dying without Christ, is dying in your sin. And if you are not saved tonight, there is a great possibility that you could die in your sins, and you'll never be in heaven. And there's only two places. There's a heaven to be gained, there's a hell to be shunned. And if you die in your sins, friend, in plain English, your soul will sink down into hell forever, according to God's book. Now, you won't find that in the opinions of men, but you'll find that inside the pages of God's Word. Those who miss Christ, they miss heaven and will be in hell forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is warning you tonight. He warns souls lest they lose their soul and go out to meet God without a Savior. You remember what Amos preached? He said, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared tonight? Those five words have haunted many a soul. Before I was saved, they haunted me. I worked in the city of Belfast, And every morning I went under the Hollywood arches. Right on one side of that arch were these five words. Large letters, prepare to meet thy God. Sitting in a trolley bus, I used to go from one side to the other. I didn't want to see them, but I knew they were there. Oh, they bothered me. Why? Because I was not prepared to meet God. I can face those words tonight, fair and square. Why? Over 42 years ago, I prepared to meet God. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But warnings are very faithful. And God is warning souls in our meeting again tonight, lest you perish in your sins and land in hell to be there forever. I would like you to take stock tonight. How many times has God warned you? How many times have you listened to the gospel? How many times have you turned God's salvation down? And yet He's warning again. I was thinking today of a young man in Lanseroo, Labrador. When Brother Joyce and I were there having meetings in 1980. One Saturday morning, a snowstorm had been forecast. Two young men in that village, one who had just reached his 19th birthday, and the other a school teacher. They both had arranged to borrow skidoos, or snowmobiles, and they were going to go into the country. And that's the legal age for buying liquor, 19, in Newfoundland. This young fellow bought a case of beer, and they got on their machines at 10 o'clock in the morning. They were going to go out into the country onto a lake. They were going to drink their liquor. They were going to do some fishing. They were told there's a snowstorm warning announced. But it wasn't snowing, so they left. But shortly after they left, it started to snow. And as they got further into the country, the snow became thicker. There had been some men that spent the night there. And they were coming back to the village. On the way back, they met these two young men. They said, boys, stop, turn around. It's far dirtier in there. That's more snow in there than what there is here. But they had bought their liquor. They had borrowed these machines. They were bent on going into to the ponds to fish and to drink. And as they said, have a good time. They left that company and went further. When they got further in, they met another number of men who had spent the night out there, and they were coming home. They said, boys, turn. You're getting into thick snow. Don't go any further. But they could not be persuaded. They were warned. They were told clear and plain. Yet they went on. 5:30 that afternoon, they hadn't arrived home. Darkness fell. I remember over 100 snowmobiles leaving that village, going out over the hill to search for those two young men. About 11:30 that night, a machine was found. They pulled the cord, started up, lots of gas in it, but nobody around. The snow had filled in their tracks. Didn't know where they were. Those men searched all night. Around noontime on Sunday, the snow stopped. They brought in a helicopter. The helicopter spied one of them about 15 miles from where they were supposed to be. They went down and picked him up. His feet had been frozen. Part of his face and hands had been frozen. But he was still living. They searched for the other young man, 19 years of age, but they didn't find him on Sunday. Sunday night was very cold. Some of those men spent all night looking for that young man. Praying tonight in this meeting, there's a Savior seeking for you. You are lost. lost to God. Nothing you can do in your life can ever please God until you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for eternity. It was Monday afternoon when one young man that we know well, whose parents are in the assembly in Lanceloo, he followed footprints over hills. Finally he came. There was a 19-year-old boy lying cold and still in death. You say it was very foolish of him, after being warned of such deep snow and snow ahead, for him to go on, and he perished, although he was warned. Could I remind you kindly tonight, there are precious souls in hell. They were warned. They were warned and sought to be turned aside from their, where they were going. Have you? Have you ever been warned? Has your ear been open? Were you listening to it? Are you going to pay heed to it? Are you going to go on in your sin? The Lord Jesus Christ, He's a warning Savior. Then we read He's a forgiving Savior. Four men brought a man that was paralyzed. They couldn't get in the door. They took off the roof. And they let the man down. Now the Lord Jesus says there, when He saw their faith, that doesn't only mean the faith of four men. That means the faith of five. How does a person get saved? By faith. By trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus looked at him, at the man. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." How did he know his sins were forgiven? Did he see something fly away? No, he didn't. Did he feel something? No, he didn't. How did he know his sins were forgiven? Only by the word of the Savior. That's how you can know your sins forgiven tonight. By the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What have he said to you personally? "Young man, thy sins be forgiven thee." What would you do? Would you doubt it? Would you wait for a feeling? Would you look for something visible? That man simply took him at his word. The Lord Jesus met his spiritual need, and then he met his physical need. The spiritual need was far more important than his physical need. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, what words. Life-giving words. Then we read of a sin-bearing Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree. Now if he bare our sins, it's not stretching it to say that he bare my sin. I believe that upon the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for my sins. I could never describe the sufferings of the Savior. You think of the sufferings of a soul who dies without Christ because of their sin, banished from God, down in hell to burn, forever and ever, and never pay for one sin. And yet upon the cross of Calvary, the Savior paid in full redemption's price, not for our sin only, but for the sins of the whole world. Could your mind or mine ever take in the suffering of the Holy Savior? No one else could have ever taken our place and pleased God but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sin-bearing Savior. Did he bear your sins? He bare my sins in his own body in the tree. How do you know? God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. I preached with a man in Ireland 7 years ago. He was a missionary from Brazil. Wilfred Glenn was his name. Far younger man than me. I remember him giving his testimony. He said, when I was a boy, sitting one night in a gospel meeting, a Sunday night, an ordinary Sunday night gospel meeting, a man quoted this verse, Christ, his own self, bare our sin in his own body in the tree. As a boy sitting in that meeting, his mind went to Calvary. And he thought, Christ, his own self, he bare my sin in his own body in the tree. Because he died for my sin, my sins are gone. And he rested on God's unchanging word. 1 John 1:7. The cleansing Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Make him personal tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth me from all sin. I remember one night, after preaching the gospel in Pugwash Junction, Brother McCracken and I were there for quite a while. But this man was attending. He came 3 nights a week. He was 58 years of age, had been brought up in a Christian home, prayed for, but only came to one gospel meeting a year. And that was the Pugwash Junction Conference. But he came 3 nights a week to our meeting. And then there was a funeral one Sunday. I thought I'd call in and see him on the way back from the funeral. I said, Kenneth, we're closing the meetings tonight. He says you can't. I says, why? He says, I'm not saved. Well, I said, you only come 3 nights a week. When I wanted to be saved, I was there 7. And he only came 3. He said, I'll be there every night next week. Well, we kept on going, and he came every night. And he came every night the next week. And we went there for 12 weeks. And he was still coming. And we had a prayer meeting on Saturday night. And he came to that as well. Finally, one night he was passing his laneway. I thought I'll go up and see Kenneth. I went up. His sister told me he's in bed. But she says, I'll get him up now. I said, let him sleep. It started 4 o'clock in the morning. The next night I passed his lane. I thought I should get back and see Kenneth. I went up the lane, went in the house. He was sitting waiting for me. I got down the Bible. We read a few scriptures with him. Then I read this verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He closed his eyes and shook his head. I says, Kenneth, what are you doing? He says, you have to fit this thing together. I says, all wrong. There's no fitting God's salvation together. My friend, the work is done. I said, Kenneth, God wants you to take him at his word that the blood of Christ was shed for the cleansing of your sin. He looked at me. He said, is that all? I said, that's all. Make it personal. He read it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth me from all sin. I saw his countenance change. He says, my sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. He died for me. I remember the next night as he was come out of the meeting with a beaming face. He said, there's power in the blood. Friend, there's power in the blood tonight. The blood to cleanse all your sins. Trust Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, thou shalt be saved.